Blog Talk Radio.
I hear coughing and sneezing in the background, but that's okay. That's okay. Kayla Grass and Nicholas P4P Real Talk in the house, and all of a sudden everything just goes blank, and I have nothing in my brain, nothing to say at all. This program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world. Yeah, so that's there's that, you know. Yeah, how about it?
Oh, my.
And it's all... Don't make fun of me. I'm having fun with this. Okay, Des is making fun of me, so I guess I should move along. But I really don't want to because, you know, they've done this new thing with basically how the product is being made, and there's so many things that are being put out about that. I just want people to know that when we say that this is a drug-free product, that's exactly what we're talking about. So, without further ado, let's finish the rest. If you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals like what, Des?
Like, oh, my, like a Mack truck through ice cream.
Oh, Snickerdoodle flavor. Check us out at p4pmuscle.com. No chocolate way for the win. And now let's talk about Snickers.
All chocolate way for the win. Oh, my goodness. As my kids would say, you're being a little extra. You're being a lot extra tonight, Kaylin. But it is all good. Happy to be back with everyone, including Kaylin and Listener Land. And a couple of things. We've actually got – I'm excited about tonight's show. We had a great performance by several athletes and the McCabes, Brian and Waishley, over this past weekend with the Whitney City Natural, and we're going to get more to that with our special guests. But before we do, we have a couple of things that we need to follow up on, touch base on from last week's show. We had Shalene Cunningham on, a mental health therapist, and she was talking with us about suicide, basically part two of our series we had we're covering on the topic. And just a couple things there. I know that we got several responses from our listeners wondering why we didn't talk more about health and wellness and exercise as part of the solution for individuals who might be suffering from depression, anxiety, a series of other illnesses that, when compounded, may lead someone to feel like they want to take their lives. And actually, we have talked about that area several times, not necessarily in relation to suicide, but I don't know, Kaylin, I can think of at least three or four shows where we'd cover health, wellness, exercise, nutrition as important parts of dealing with several illnesses, if you will, affect, you know, people day in, day out, including digestion. We did talk about depression in one show with Dr. Miller in particular. A couple others. I know you had Dr. Peter Fishen on, and I know you guys touched on it there. So if you want to hit our archives, check out our interview with Shalene again, great. She had a lot of good statistics out there about the staggering numbers of people who are or have lost their battle with suicidal thoughts. Check that out. She gives lots of information on resources that you can tap into, as well as statistics and just some more insights from her perspective on this area. And then also the archives for Dr. Peter Fishen. Also look for Kevin Miller. Look for Melissa Grandin. Those are just a few shows that you guys can take another listen to regarding, you know, health, wellness, exercise, nutrition as remedies to, you know, several things that ail us these days. And then also, I know, Kaylin, we had several questions about some comments that were made in that interview regarding the church that I think you wanted to just clear up quickly for us.
Yes, when she was speaking towards the church, she was speaking more towards the religious aspect of it, and basically the people that aren't practicing what they preach. So she wasn't speaking negatively. She was speaking about the people who basically stand on a pedestal and down certain individuals for their life choices and basically how they interact with others. And, you know, I've posted many times about this where, you know, we're not accessible as you know, children of God. And because we're not accessible, we're not really his children, because his children have a walk, they have a talk that equal, and they also make sure that they can be reached out to and they can be, you know, attainable. And it's, you know, people were very offended, but that's not how she was speaking. And I'm glad I was able to clear it up to the people that reached out to me. But just in case any other listener was listening, I just want to make sure that you understand she was not speaking about the children of God. It was more directed at church folk, what we call it, where I'm from.
And I think just for a little more clarification, some of the comments around, you know, certain topics that are can be taboo in religious settings, with suicide being one of them. And her point was, we should be talking about this suicide and other topics, especially in church or in other areas where you have people who are supposed to be supportive and there to help lift you up. They shouldn't be taboo. And I think that was more of her point that she was trying to get across. So no, she wasn't speaking negatively on religion. Exactly. She was wanting to, in those instances where these topics are taboo, that they shouldn't, more people should be having these conversations, because that's going to be helpful to the individuals who are needing help. So that's where we were with that. So anyway, folks, check it out. If you have other questions, you know, be sure to message us, and we're happy to continue the discussion either one-on-one or to, you know, host another show and keep talking about things that you have interest in. So with that, I am going to go ahead and transition to tonight's show, because we actually have not one, but two guests that are going to be on with us to talk about the thing that we all are here to learn about and that we love, natural bodybuilding. And we are going to be discussing it in the context of the recent competition that I referenced, the Windy City Natural. I understand it was a fantastic show. I'm still so jealous that I had to miss it, but had to be done. I had mom life going on, and so that's where my priority was. But tonight we have Miss Andrea Castillo, judge, expediter, founder of drugfreeathleticphysiques.com, and pretty much, you know, in the know on everything natural bodybuilding. And then along with her, we also have Matthew Burdess. He is a natural bodybuilding pro, personal trainer, judge, and creator of the Muscle Initiative brand clothing line. You know, the list just kind of goes on and on and on with these two. They're into so much. So that should just let you know you've got some well-rounded guests on tonight's show. I know. With that, I'm going to stop talking, and I'm going to let them start talking. And, Andrea, why don't we have you say hello first?
Hi, you guys. Glad to be back.
Hello. Glad to have you back, sister.
I missed you guys this weekend.
Oh, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. I know. I was so incredibly bummed, and then Kalen had his own adventure that he'll have to share on another show. I don't think we have enough time tonight. But anyway, we were both so looking forward to it, and then we missed it. But you were there, and then Matthew, you were there. Why don't you say hello to our listeners?
Well, hello. How's it going, everybody?
Hey.
I'm a little wild.
Good.
I just got done with a little bike ride from work, and I think the heart rate's still pumping.
Hey, Matthew.
Hey. Long time no see.
I know.
Yeah,
I
and,
know.
Kalen, Kalen, did you end up showing up? Because I thought I heard you in the background.
Only yelling over the phone.
Ah, okay. Somebody in the audience sounded just like you.
Were they yelling in an English accent? Were they yelling in an English English accent?
I think at that point in time they missed the opportunity to use the English accent.
Oh no! All right. Well, Kalen, just so our listeners know what I'm talking about, why don't you go ahead and give them a little example, a little sampling.
About something like that. You can't do it
no,
now.
Not Australia. You've been using that accent
well,
for too night. Long. I'm talking old English.
I'm trying to think about how to say it right and then say it where it makes sense, and I can't.
No,
that's not it.
That's not it. We're still in Australia. We're still down under. But you know, when Shakespeare takes over, when Shakespeare takes over, you bring it back on.
There we go.
So, okay, folks, so for the purposes of tonight's show, we want to cover a couple of different things with our guests, and I think we're going to get a really good perspective because of the varied background of these two. They're both judges. They're both intimately involved in the industry. They've either been a competitor, they love a competitor, they spend their days around competitors, so it's going to be all good. And so I want to talk a little bit about what actually goes on behind the scenes during a competition, because we're always talking about what's going on the stage, but we don't really give you a perspective of everything else that's going on behind the stage in order for the athletes to still get on the stage. So Andrea was working that scene this weekend at the show, and it sounds like there was a lot going on. So we want to get the scuttle on that. And then I also want to dive into all of the pros that were competing this weekend, because it looked like a pretty awesome lineup. And just to get a round robin going of, you know, our thoughts on these athletes and what to expect and what was awesome and, you know, any surprises, all that good kind of stuff. So, and Matthew, I think you've expedited before, haven't you? Or am I making things up?
You said me? Yeah, I haven't expedited myself, no.
Okay, so I was making that up. So that's all right. I tend to do
good
that
job,
sometimes, yeah. But I'm trying to be honest about it at least, so... There we go. You're still going to contribute to the conversation. So, Andrea, you are behind the scenes, and the thing that I want to get started with is I know in your role over this past weekend, you were dealing with a lot of different facets of what the athletes were experiencing, their different needs, and you were receiving a lot of questions. And I think it would just be helpful to kind of give us a few insights on maybe some of the most commonly asked questions or what were the most common needs of the athletes as they were getting ready to step on stage.
Sure. Last year, as well as this year, I have gone to the Windy City in an effort to help expedite the tanning area. When I'm there, I tend to end up falling into kind of a multifaceted approach. And it's kind of interesting because at first, the people that know me, they're like, hey, how you doing? How you doing? How you doing? How you doing? And it gets people that aren't familiar with the sport or are first-time competitors or from other areas who may or may not have anybody backstage with them to realize very quickly that a lot of people know me and therefore they feel very comfortable asking questions. Now, like I said, I actually came up to help Ivy. So Brian has his expediting staff in place, and that was last year and this year. And the one thing that I would like to tell people is that if you are involved in the sport, please volunteer at shows. The expediters, everyone that you see you see backstage. Many of those positions are volunteer positions, as well as getting into judging, being ushers, things of that nature. Many of us help in all different facets, and that's why you see us, the more a person is involved in the sport, the more places you see them. Now, I've done everything from promote to collect urine and everything in between. But so, for example, this weekend there were 108 competitors, I believe, and Ivy Potter and her staff had over 70 athletes. So it was very, very, very important that we ran a very tight ship on who was getting tanned, when, at what time, how the show was progressing, if it was going fast, if it was going slow, if people had categories that were back-to-back, did they need to be taken care of at the level upstairs? If it was bikini, did we have people in bikini A being tanned before bikini B? It all had to run in a very smooth sequence. And so while the ladies like Ivy and Ashley Spargo and Morgan Stepruski and Sam Taylor were in the tanning room themselves, I was in the hallway. I was the go-between between the athletes that were her clients as well as were not her clients and some of the expediters at the other end of the hall, getting people where they needed to go, answering questions. I had a lot of questions from first-time competitors of, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing or where I'm supposed to be. I don't have anybody here with me. And if you can think it, I've probably been asked it. As the night went on and we got into the overalls, I was going around telling people, hey, don't forget, if you think there's a chance that you might be going up for an overall, do not let your tan at this point, whether you're using Ivy or not, be something that costs you an overall. Every single person, whether they were pros or amateurs, that came up and asked me questions, I got them answers. If I didn't have answers for them, I sent them to the person that could get them answers. So the expediters on the other end of the hall, because it's a big long hallway at the venue that was used this weekend with about 6 or 7 rooms that shot off on both sides. Then there were 2 stairwells at the far end. So there was a lot of area to cover, a lot of rooms to be checking. There were schedules posted at both ends of the hallways. But it was kind of hard to keep track because initially Brian had set a time schedule. And what I had to get people to understand is, okay, there was X amount of time allotted to this number of competitors. So that's why we're now X amount of minutes fast. Let me get somebody to slow this down a little bit. Let's get this back, you know, in this direction. And, I mean, I had everything from, am I getting drug tested, to what am I supposed to do now that I'm here?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I'm supposed to do. This is the first time I've ever competed. So, you know, if you had a question, they probably came to me for answers because the expediters were running back and forth and checking rooms, and it seemed like I was full of knowledge. So people, at some points, I had people in a line waiting to ask me questions, and at other points, I had was completely encircled by people waiting their turn to ask me questions.
Wow.
I'll just say I was really exhausted.
You should have been pretty exhausted. First of all, I have to take a step back and say 108 competitors. That is just awesome. He has grown leaps and bounds over his first year. I can't recite how many he had last year, but I feel like that was a dramatic increase.
I believe it doubled, Des.
Did I hear Des, or
okay,
did you say something, Matthew?
It's right
or Kalen?
There it is.
Well, I believe he had right around 70 to 75 last year.
Okay.
Well,
I'm not quite sure on the exact number, but it was decent for a first time show, and then it just, I mean, this year it kind of just blew up even bigger. So it basically just a well ran show.
Yeah, and it was 108
awesome.
It was 108 competitors without crossovers.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay, cool.
In order to get everybody in, out, crossed over, up and down the stairs, where everybody needed to go, pros, amateurs, it had to be run on a pretty tight ship. But at the same time, people had to be knowledgeable and pay attention and not be overlooked. Because last year we had a woman who missed her class. She happened to be outside, and we looked for her for 20 minutes. When you're at a show and you're an athlete, please, I'm really begging the athletes to stay downstairs unless you have a long time or you know a lineup and you can watch and pay attention. Okay, at this point, I need to come downstairs. Because that's what a lot of my questions were for a while was, okay, well, I'm not competing until here. What do I do and how long is it going to take to get to there? And I said, well, if you'd like to go and watch the show, you can go upstairs. But at this point, you need to come downstairs. You cannot watch this class. Or mm-hmm. you can go to intermission and then come downstairs. Or what are your plans? Are you going to eat? Are you on a time schedule for eating? Are you going to need tanning? Are you with a coach? Are you here with a group? Are you here by yourself? And all of those things come into play, and I ask questions before I can pretty much give somebody an answer or an estimate. But definitely don't leave if you are not well aware of the situation of what's going on around you, because you can very easily miss your call out.
And that is true. And I've heard of that happening before. So just to take a step back, and there's a lot of good things here that Andrea is touching on. I'm going to have Matthew jump in here in a second to talk about being a, because he's been backstage as a coach, but then also just as a supporter and a helper for athletes that didn't necessarily have their coach there. But a couple of things, if you don't know what an expediter is, the expediter is basically the person that makes sure everybody gets on stage when they're supposed to get on stage. So usually at any venue, there are several rooms. Hopefully, if it's a good venue, you have several rooms where the athletes will get ready. Ladies will do their hair, makeup, suits, you know, tanning, pump-up areas, all of that good kind of stuff. And then as the show starts, there's generally a lineup of when each class is going to go on, and the expediter is going to make sure that the class that's ready to go on stage is lined up, all the athletes are present, they're in the right order, tells them when to get on stage, lets them know where to go when they exit off the stage, and they make sure that the next group of athletes is ready to get on stage as soon as the current athletes are finished. And a lot of times they'll tell you, you need to listen, you need to pay attention. If the expediter calls your number, they're only going to look for you for so long, and then after that, the show is going to go on. So as Andrea said, you have to pay attention and, you know where you're supposed to be. You know, are you lined up? Are you watching? Are you getting ready to pump up? All of that good kind of stuff. And if this is your first show and you're there by yourself, meaning you don't have someone with experience or at least a support person who can run around and ask questions for you, it can be very confusing. So, and I've been in both situations. I've been at a show completely by myself. In fact, my first show, I was there completely by myself. And then I've also had a support person there with me. Now, Matthew, as a coach and just someone who's been there to help athletes get ready, how important do you think it is to have someone there with you if you can bring someone with you?
Oh, my goodness. I have a huge list just for me personally competing. It's like going in blind and not knowing what you're doing day of show. I remember my first show, it's like, okay, do I pump up? Do I not pump up? Is it time to pump up? Is it time to eat something? How much time do I have? You get confused and it's nerve wracking instead of just, like with me, I ended up picking up, Cliff as a coach, a long time ago, and he had everything laid out. You know, we called, check in, we'd be mindful of everything, even as an online coach and him not actually being able to be there present, it was incredibly helpful. And then actually having him there, basically everybody competing that day knows exactly when they're going out, how much time. And I remember doing shows solo and going, okay, well, maybe I should start pumping up now. Looks like my class is getting ready. And I wouldn't have had time to get a pump, make sure that I was, you know, ready to go. And, you know, I'd probably get docked points because, you know, I didn't look my best. So it can make or break many placings just by having the knowledge of what to do and where to go.
It can be very overwhelming with a lot of athletes.
Mm-hmm. Especially if you're not familiar with the athletes that are in your. But
yeah,
Go
ahead, Matthew.
Oh, no. Go ahead. I insist.
Like, for example, there was a gentleman, well, there were many people that were there by themselves this time with no assistance downstairs. And there was one gentleman in particular. He was from out of state. He didn't know anyone. He was using IV for tanning, and he had a bazillion questions because he was crossing over into two categories. He was doing men's physique and men's classic. So he needed to know, am I going to have time to change my shorts? What am I supposed to be doing? By the end of the show, he came up to Ivy and I as we were cleaning up, and he said, my phone has been blowing up all day long from my family wanting to know what's going on, and I haven't answered a single one of them because I have felt like I have been surrounded by family here.
Aww. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
He said, he's like, I cannot thank you enough for doing everything that you guys have done for us today as athletes and helping us get from point A to point B and be okay, be comfortable, be happy. You have taken the stress away from my day completely. And he said, you know, it has been an amazing experience, and I cannot wait to tell people to come back and do this. So that was great to hear. There were a lot of compliments by the end of the night. You know, I was at one end of the hall. They had the other end of the hall where they were in a pump-up area. It was the bottom staging area. And when those expediters that were down there were looking for numbers, if I had them in the tanning area or I knew where they were at, even if they, because I knew the athlete, not necessarily because they were one of Ivy's clients, I said, don't worry, I'll get them down there to you. And they said, okay. So we worked very, very well. It was a very well-ran show from being downstairs that people had plenty of time, and it got to the point where we were a little bit ahead with tanning people. So then I would go into rooms and say, hey, this class is up. If you're in this one, you might consider, you know, stop talking and start getting ready because you're going to be pulled down there in 5 to 10 or 15 minutes. And they would be like, oh, okay. Because when you do build these friendships, whether they're new or old, the other thing that I have found with athletes is that sometimes the friendship part takes over in the communication and the talking, and you forget that you're competing. And you just sit around and casually start talking, and it really blows your mind when it comes to time management. And that they're actually your competitors, and instead of shooting the breeze, maybe I should be getting ready.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. It's actually kind of a little bit more fun when you get on stage, and we actually saw some of that on stage, the camaraderie, just with some of the people, you know, making friends and actually being looking like they're actually having a lot of fun.
Great.
And that's the part that we go for, or that you strive for with the show. And it sounds like Brian and the team that he pulled together hit it on the nose.
Yeah, it's amazing. You have a good chemistry in the athlete area that it is reflected on stage. Because if you've got everyone stressed out or things are running way far behind or they're running way too fast, people are so stressed out trying to get to the stage that on stage that appearance does take on a different look in facial expressions, concentration, and their ability to actually pose to their best ability. So we've had a good, had a really good group up at Brian's show between his team and Ivy and wherever I see things that need to be taken care of. I don't mind jumping in. I don't ever want to feel like I'm jumping on someone's toes. And I'll tell people directly, hey, you need to go and talk to Brian about this. You need to talk to him directly. Don't find a middleman. Don't find a third person. Go to him directly. This that you're asking me is important. He is the only one to answer that question. Or there's other times that I'll say, hey, go down there to that person. They're expediting. You can ask them. Or go to this person. Or go to don't have the answers. So if you're ever at a show, whether you're an experienced athlete, whether you're amateur or pro, whether you're in-state, out-of-state, at your home base territory, use the people that have been put in place as expediters or staff to get those questions answered so you have a really great experience so that when you get on stage, you have the time of your life.
Awesome. That's good. I mean, and so the first part of this show is I just wanted folks to get a taste for what are athletes dealing with behind stage before they get on stage. So now that you've heard some of the questions or things that they're wondering, especially for first-timers, you know, now's a good time to start asking these same questions to your coach or to another veteran athlete. So then you have an idea of what it is that you are walking into, because sometimes you don't know what you don't know. So, you know, how do I know when to get ready on stage? Are they going to tell me when I have to go on stage? How long do I need to pump up prior to getting on stage? When do I eat? Da, 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 da. If these aren't things that your coach has talked to you about, or if you don't have a coach and you're prepping yourself, you know what? Ask us, find someone else who's done it before, but the more information you have going into the show, the better that your performance is going to be. And so I'm going to go ahead and transition to the next part of it, the exciting part of it when we talk about the athletes that were on the stage. But before I do that, I'm going to kind of derail us a little bit, but I'm going to go ahead and ask this question. It's on a topic that we've talked about before on a couple different shows, and now that we've got two more minds to give their perspective on it, I'm going to go ahead and ask it again, because James wants to know what Matt and Andrea think about the criteria debacle concerning the two muscular men's physique and the undersized bodybuilders who are winning pro cards. So just a little bit of background, Matthew and Andrea. So the discussion has been, or the trend that our listeners are starting to see, or some of them are starting to see, is that there are individuals who are earning their pro cards in bodybuilding that are coming in very lean, very conditioned, but they don't have as much size. To some, they appear like they should be physique competitors and not bodybuilding competitors. So the question is this kind of the trend that we're looking at? Are bodybuilders just becoming more lean with less size, or what is happening to the size? Matthew, I'll turn it over to you first to kind of share your thoughts on this topic.
Oh, that is a tough one. Because I have seen a lot of it happen to where they do go for a lot of the organizations, they do go for the most shredded competitor a lot of the times. And where, you know, I think it's great that, you know, a lot of people have, you know, as much muscle as they do in a shredded instance, I think somebody who is maybe just a little less lean but has all the other criteria on the judging criteria, I think sometimes that gets overlooked. And that's where I kind of I side with, if you don't have symmetry and you don't have muscularity, I think that it's under-warranted. And I think that's only part of the criteria is how lean you can get. Now, there are obvious competitors that are out there that, if you're holding on to a few more pounds that you can condition down for, I think that that should take precedence. But that's where it's hard depending on the organization that you're judging as well and the criteria that they go by. Mm.
Okay.
But
your thoughts? Oh, I'm sorry, Matthew. Did I cut you off?
No. I was saying Andrea.
Oh. Okay.
Okay. As far as that question, it really comes down to what the organization wants for that look. There are trends that take place in natural bodybuilding. Now, see, I love natural bodybuilding because athletes have choices, right? That's kind of the whole reason that I did the drugfreeathleticphysique.org website, is to showcase all of the different possibilities for people to be able to compete in. If you don't know what the organization tends to go for as their quote-unquote look for a category, definitely do some research. If there's a show in your area and you want to compete in it, do your research on the organization first, then aim for that look. Now, this weekend, it was NANBF IPE. Their organization, in my opinion, does reward leanness over, let's say they award conditioning, then symmetry, then size. That's my opinion. That's not their criteria, how it's written. Their criteria says that all parts are equal. However, if you look over the past several years, the trends on those stages are the leaner an athlete is in bodybuilding, the more rewarded they become. Sometimes I see conditioning being so dramatic and being so lean that they begin to lose muscularity. And sometimes it really starts to show their flaws in their symmetry. If you judge basically without looking at all the factors, and it goes by an organization, say, for example, the IPE, typically you look at their winners, they're lean as hell, and if you don't have striated glutes, you're not going to win, versus, say, another organization like the IMBA, PMBA, where theirs is more size, typically over conditioning. As long as you are pretty much conditioned and hold your muscularity, that's what they like to award. It's different on all of the different organizations. Is it right? Is it wrong? I particularly like the differences in the organizations. So my suggestion would be, as an athlete, you need to research the organization in which you would like to compete, and then go for what they typically reward.
Gotcha. So at the end of the day, do your homework like we normally say.
Yeah. Now, when I'm on a judging panel, when I go to sit down to judge, I will have all of their materials that they have online printed off in front of me each time. And as a class comes out, I'll go to that category and I will – yeah, you know that, Kaylin, because you and I sat next to each other. And I'll announce at the table to the people that are sitting next to me, this is their requirement. This is what they're looking for. In case the people around me haven't touched up recently, or in case the last time they read something and now something has changed, or maybe I'm just reading out loud to myself, but I stick to the criteria per organization.
Gotcha. Yes,
there is a difference. There is a difference.
There is a difference. And I'm actually going to move us along a little bit because we're starting to run short on time, and I do want to get to the athletes from this past weekend. We never seem to have enough time, it seems like. But one final comment on this. We do have one listener that I'm going to go ahead and share his thoughts. He asked that we not share his name, but that he knows that many judges are not following criteria when it comes to this topic that we are talking about. And so that's his opinion on it. So again, you know, as Andrea was saying, judges also have to do your homework, keep the criteria for that particular show in front of you. and then judge accordingly. If you've got a real quick thought, Andrea, let's go ahead and share it. Otherwise, we'll have to bring it back to another show.
Sure. I would like to say, you cannot just think that criteria is going to win you a show. If they go for lean and you come in with striated glutes, but you cannot pose, or you do not well with your do well with stage presence, or you have a scowl on your face the whole time, I will mark things down on you for that. If you are an athlete and you raise your hand to get moved and you constantly walk in front of people on the stage, I will take that into consideration. If you are an athlete and you are chewing gum, I will take that into consideration.
Oh.
There are many things besides the level of conditioning, symmetry, and muscularity that go into judging. So please take that all into consideration.
You're being looked at the moment you walk on and the moment you walk off. So
even if you're standing at the back of the stage, you are being watched.
Yes. Okay.
The chewing gum is a whole new thing, but we're going to have to talk about that later. But I just love how this conversation ebbs and turns, ebbs and flows. Love it. I love it. But we got to move on because this is initially supposed to be based on the Windy City Natural, and we have yet to get to the athletes. And I want to start with the pros. I don't know if we're going to have time to get through everyone, but you know, there were quite a few pros that stepped on the stage, and I was pretty impressed by that. And I just want to, if nothing else, at least get their names out there and some initial thoughts on any of the athletes, any favorites. If favorites is the right word, I don't know, but just so on and so forth. So, Kaylin, why don't we start with pro men's bodybuilding and kind of start us down that road? Who did we have as the top finishers?
I can give you Sam. I want to say his name right, but I butcher it every time, the last name. Okanula. Am I saying that right, Andrea?
I think it's Okanola.
Okanola, okay. Matt, well, you were there. You go ahead and give the rundown, and then I'll piggyback you so I don't butcher the names, because you got to hear him in person.
Well, there was a ton of well-rounded physiques that hit the stage, and basically the big standout was Sam. You know, he comes in at like, what, 205 pounds, and you know, he was definitely noticeable on that stage. You know, you had Chris Wells. You had Chris Wells get on the stage. He always brings an amazing package. Liam, come on, the Shredmaster.
Yes.
I tell you what, he got on that stage. It was basically just tough all around. There was a gentleman named Bart. I can't pronounce his last name without butchering it.
Looks like Simandira, maybe. I don't know. But anyway.
Simon, I'm not going to try. And then Ryan Franklin, he just went pro, I think, a few weeks ago. One of Team Wolfson's guys, and he also brought his game. There was a new gentleman that I hadn't seen before,
Jeremy?
I hadn't seen him, but Jeremy, there we go. Hadn't seen him on stage before, and he's got a great build, along with Valentine and Tyler, also a couple more Team Wilson guys. And I tell you what, that was just, it was hard to say who was going to get first through fifth.
Definitely great lineup.
Very good
lineup.
So,
seeing as how you're the only one sitting in the audience for this particular one, what do you think tipped the scale for Samuel over the others in the lineup?
Ah, come on. Yeah, that's just
I mean, I've seen pictures, but come on.
I'd have to say just he has just an overall balance of muscle size, symmetry, and the appropriate leanness. I mean, he brought an A game, and I mean, it was seriously first through third. It was going to be tough because Chris Wells, again, you know, he always brings an impeccable package, and he came in, and it was all these guys, their posing was on point, and it literally was just fine-tooth hairs and what the judges wanted to actually place ahead of another.
Yeah. I got to jump in there about Chris, because he was one of those competitors. Well, he is one of those competitors that basically had a pro physique when he was competing as an amateur. And I'm not, you know, that's not to discredit him. He's just one of those hard workers, and his physique shows. I mean, his progress has been just phenomenal, and I truly laugh when people are trying to question his natural status. I said, because if you could just see the guy in the gym, there would be no question. I mean, it's just, he's just one of those, and his smile, just it's so genuine that you just have to know that he's very sincere about what he's doing, and he takes all criticism in a way that improves his physique for the next show, and the next show, and the next show. And I'm just so excited just from this region, because, you know, he basically can, we can reach out and we can have him speak to the different people, because he really knows his stuff. And like Matt was saying, he's gonna bring a great package when he gets there. He's gonna be top five. And Andrea, you can speak about that at the Natural O. He's really got a physique worth seeing.
Yeah, the one thing that you notice every single time with Chris Wells is he's got that itty-bitty teeny-tiny waist and that nice X-frame. He is a true, what I would call, bodybuilder. Sam has that as well. Sam likes to come with a nice, full muscle belly, but still a very conditioned look. And
yes,
he's got an X-frame too. So if you're missing the X-frame part, if you don't have that little itty-bitty waist, jump into Men's Classic and start cleaning house.
There you go.
And there you go.
So true.
Oh, and just a real quick aside, we're going to have Sam on the show on Thursday, so guys, be sure to tune in there. So, Men's Pro Physique, Matthew, lead us down this road.
Well, again, a lot of great physiques hit that stage, and it was literally all that, again, a lot of these guys with the very, very, very small waist came on stage. The gentleman, Eric Murphy and Thomas Lazier. Okay. I'm going to butcher names all night. So, Eric and Thomas, they literally came in with very small waist, tons and tons of muscle, and they brought a stage presence worth taking notice to. Like, when they came out there, they posed, they were smiling, they were having a good time. And, you know, I mean, that whole class, Men's Physique, is all about stage presence with an impeccable package, especially as a pro. And those guys, they really brought it. Again, there was Kyle Olson and Fritz Koko. They came in, they brought their stage presence all the way up front. And it literally was just boiling it down. Again, tough classes to judge. I probably wouldn't have wanted to be on the judging panel for a lot of these classes, because you literally were picking hairs at the time of first through fifth.
Yeah.
I could tell you from being downstairs, that's not a lie. Because I saw names on the lineup, I saw them pumping up, and I was looking at them, and I was telling them before they ever went upstairs, whoever makes the top five in this lineup is going to be very lucky, and it's going to be very close. So give it everything that you've got. Don't put anything on the table that you don't want seen, and you have to make the best of it, because if you can make the top five in this class, it is going to be something special, because there are too many good lineups, like in the pro men's bodybuilding, the pro physique as well. It was tough to get in that top five. It was tough. And I could tell that from just being downstairs.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, and that's the type of show that we've always said as competitors, you want to be in, you want to compete in, because you know that, you know, it's going to tell it. How well you did with your training and working through that grind, it's all going to come to bear here. There's not going to be a runaway. And those are those are the toughest shows, sometimes the most heartbreaking, but oh my gosh, the most thrilling, I have to say. So,
and I can tell you that they were worked. They were worked, because when they came downstairs, they were pouring sweat.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
Hey, ProMan's Bodybuilding Masters Plus.
Oh.
Who did you have there?
Three great athletes. I mean, you had Fred Thomas, Aaron McAllister, and Lee Kirkwood. And, I mean, we were talking about, size and conditioning. Aaron really brought a lot of muscle to the stage. Very lean. He even had himself a Michael Keaton Batman routine that I caught video of. So he came in with an impeccable package. But, you know, again, Fred Thomas and Lee Kirkwood also, coming out with a great posing routines. And it literally just depends on that judging panel when it comes down to it, especially in the men's pros.
Yeah. That was was top to bottom. It was a nice lineup, and I was, wow. I mean, you get really excited. Any fan of the sport has got to get goosebumps when you see names like that, and see the placement of the judge, and just, you know, it's a good time. It's a, like you know, we talk about, you know, real things, and this is real talk, so we cover real subjects. But it's also nice to sit back and be a fan of the sport as well. And I think this is one of those shows where you can actually get both. And I'm really excited about that.
Andrea, anything to add?
Yeah, can I say something? I hear a lot of times when people are doing this or people are talking backstage or people are talking after a show, it goes to the judging panel. No. It is, what mistake did I make as a pro on that stage? Where can I make improvement? Do not blame the judging panel. Do not take that, because it makes an excuse and you stay where you are at. If you want to improve, if you didn't make the top five, if you came in last or if you came in second, I don't give a crap. Get some advice. There's always room for improvement, no matter how well you did or you didn't do. Never leave it to the judges. Always get feedback. Take it into consideration and move forward.
All right, I'm marching.
Good perspective. Definitely. Good perspective there. All right, guys, we're running short, but we cannot leave the ladies out of this. So, pro figure. I saw the pictures. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my gosh. So, Matthew, lead us down this one.
Again, very, very, very tough. And everybody brought a package, and each one was different. When it came down to first place, Devin, I'm going to go with Feto. she brought a lean package that was full muscle bellied, and again had awesome stage presence. Her posing was on point. But then again, Miriam, Miriam, she also came in, had a lot of muscle on her, and it just all these ladies, even Legretta and Corey, they all brought a great package to stage. And again, it's just, you know, who has what at that time. And it's not easy to have classes like this and judge them. Just sitting back and watching it, you're just sitting there going, which way are they going to go? Because everybody had a good package.
Andrea?
Yeah, they were very, I'm telling you, the lineups that came, I don't care if they were 9 deep or 2 deep. Everybody brought their A game to the show. And if you didn't, it's because you lacked somewhere. Find it. Come back better to your next show. Where, whatever place you're going. But the lineups that came, it was hard to crack that top spot. And if they won, it was extremely hardly earned. And I can guarantee you that the judging panel was probably not unanimous across the board, every pro category.
That sounds good.
Oh, and at this level of competition, that's what you expect, or at least that's what you hope to see, and that every pro would be bringing their A-plus game, because at this point, the stakes are a little bit higher. It's not just pro status, but there is money on the line, and we haven't been covering that. But, based on the number of contestants in each category, first through third and sometimes fourth, walked away with a nice little cash prize there. So that was a nice payout that was going on in this show as well. So again, hats off to Brian and Waishalee. All right, Pro Bikini, Misty Weatherford. My gosh, is this like what, three in a row for her this year that she took first place? This girl is on fire.
She's cleaning house.
Every show that she's been to, the cleaning house. And that's, she also got the, I think the Best Poser Award too. And it's just because she comes out, she brings an impeccable package to the stage, and then she knows how to walk that stage. But then again, everybody in this class, they definitely brought their A game as well. Like Desiree, what you said, everybody came to compete, and everybody's class was stacked.
And, just to point out, too, Jane Carlson, I know she just got her IP Pro card, I think it was just a couple of weeks ago. And then she came to the Windy City Natural, and she came in second behind Misty. So hats off to Jane, too, being a new pro and, cleaning up herself there at that show.
Not bad for a pro debut.
No, not at all.
She's going to be a force. She's going to be a force to be reckoned with. She's going to give Misty a run for her money real soon, because she has that same kind of stage presence that you just can't help but look at her. So if you're a bikini, start looking at these women that keep racking up these wins, because their posing is not slutty. Their posing is sexy, but it's attractive. It's very fluid. It's very feminine, and it's very positive to the sport. You don't see them bending over dramatically. They keep it very elegant, classy, and they show their physique off.
And I would agree on all of those fronts. All right, moving us along because we're running short. Pro women's bodybuilding. And I'm not familiar with the first place winner, so to fill us in here, Matthew.
This was a class that these women would actually give some of these guys a run for their money. I mean, you talk about having muscle on a woman. These women brought their A game, and it was very impressive to see just how much muscle had been built and the conditioning level of both of these women. And I was impressed just sitting there just going, holy cow. So it was it was definitely a pleasure to see women's bodybuilding, and not just a couple of competitors just going out on stage, but just some serious, serious competitors hitting that stage and doing what they had.
These two are serious competitors. I know Juanita, she just took some time off before she came back, and she's been working with Patricia Payne out of St. Louis. But both of these, Heather is also known by Heather Lewis, I believe, on social media, but they are true bodybuilders. They are true female bodybuilders, still very muscular, and they were shredded.
Very
so,
shredded.
Full names here. First place was Heather, is it Formichella? Formichella. I'm not the only, Matt's not the only one that's going to murder names tonight. I'm notorious for it as well. And then Juanita Martin took second place. And then Pro Women's Physique, we had Joyce Thornton in first place. So that rounds out the pro lineup and the discussion there, and it actually brings us to the end of our show as well. And I just want to say thanks to Andrea and Matthew. I've really enjoyed this conversation. It's been fun hearing other perspectives of the athletes, and I'm hoping to see all of these same people and some more. I know there's a ton of pro shows coming up to round out the end of the year, so it should just be getting more and more exciting.
Yeah, in the Midwest, KC's looking to blow up before Worlds.
Yes.
Yep. And do you know what's the date of that show, Andrea? It's September.
September 16th.
That sounds about
right. It's September 16th.
17th. Yep. That weekend.
And that's a two-day show.
And then,
so. Or a two-stage show.
Then,
I don't remember what format.
It's usually, that format is usually a two-stage show, but I'm not sure what they have going on this year. And then Worlds is in October?
November 11th, I believe.
Okay.
The second weekend of November.
Right.
And you do have to
then
get
November
qualified as a pro if you want to compete there.
Okay, good to note. And then I know Matthew, Natural Peori Championships, that's coming up in late October, I believe October 29th?
Day before Halloween, I think, something like that.
Yeah, 28th, 29th.
Yep.
Along with, I believe, October 7th, there's also a Leif Anderson's Michigan show, along with, I believe, the Mayhem is the week after that as well. So, just
yep.
October is just going to be a booked month everywhere.
Yep. So
yeah,
if you're
there's another amateur show in St. Louis. I think that one's the Gateway Classic. It's John and Becky Arnold show. But the Midwest,
yep.
If you're on the Midwest, you're running out of shows. So start looking at your calendar. If you're on the East and West Coast, East Coast is flooded all the way through November. West Coast, it's going to start slowing down as well.
All right, so there you have it. So if you are almost stage ready, then let's push it and get going. If you are stage ready now, just stay on track because there's a lot of good opportunities coming up. And with that, just thanks again, guys. Kaylin, any last parting thoughts for us?
Not at all. I'll see you for Thursday.
All right, again, we're going to have Samuel Okanola, if I pronounced that right.
There you go.
Yes, there we go, this Thursday. So be sure you tune in for that. Kaylin, snickerdoodle shout out.
Snickerdoodle, snickerdoodle. There you are.
All right. And no, we can't end on this note totally, though. So, Matthew and Andrea, if you have a favorite P4P protein flavor,
snickerdoodle.
What is it? Don't let Kaylin influence you.
Snickerdoodle.
You know, I'm always an ice cream fan, so that's kind of where I go. With the ice cream.
Yeah, I can take that. Yeah, cake batter. Yeah.
Sandwich.
Yeah.
There you go. There you go. Andrea, any thoughts?
Does that have to be with you? Chocolate.
Yes! Yes! Hashtag chocolate way for the win. So, on behalf of myself, Andrea, Matthew, Kaylin, and the boys from P4P, P4P Real Talk, your body's a temple, let's build it.
Build it with snickerdoodle.